Thank you for joining us for ACT, No Matter What, the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona podcast. And now, your host, Ethan Cox, Director of Development.
Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of our ACT, No Matter What podcast. It's the podcast of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona. I'm Ethan Cox, Director of Development for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona. And I'm so excited to welcome you today for a great conversation with State Senator Lila Austin. I'm going to do a short bio and then we're going to jump into it with a really great conversation today. Lila Austin is a Phoenix native and attended Adams Grace Court Elementary and went on to graduate from Phoenix Union High School. As a product of public education, she strongly believes in and credits Arizona's kindergarten through university educational system for making the difference in her ability to help others. She earned her bachelor's degree at the University of Arizona in 3 years and later received her master's from Arizona State University while teaching full-time in the Phoenix Union High School District. She was elected to the PUHSD Governing Board in November of 2008, continuing her service to Phoenix students and families after teaching in the district for 34 years. In 1976, she was elected to Arizona State Senate, where she served on the Appropriations Committee for 18 years. In her 29 years at the legislature, she is focused on supporting programs designed to strengthen the education system and improve health care for children and families. Welcome, Senator Austin.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let's just dive right into this. As I'm sure you are more than well aware, there are several new bills that have been introduced in the state Congress masquerading as preventing voter fraud, which would actually seek to limit voter access. Of the many bills introduced, which is the most harmful, and do any of these bills really stand a chance of becoming law?
Well, first of all, I think they do stand a good chance of becoming law. Unfortunately, there is not a balance of power in Arizona state government. And so we are seeing the majority party stick together, even though they only have a one vote majority,
right,
either house. And one of the worst of the bills is to take people off the voter rolls. That's called the PEBL bill. And PEBL stands for Permanent Early Voting List. And it would take individuals off the permanent early voting list if they did not vote for two election cycles. And we know that many people care about voting, but maybe their individual lives are so busy or so complex, and we particularly see this now with the pandemic, that they fail to vote even though they want to stay on the permanent voting list, and perhaps something will inspire them to go to the polls when otherwise they haven't, but they still deserve to stay as registered voters. There is a way to call the list, and that's done routinely. For example, one of the arguments is we don't want dead people voting. Well, we don't have dead people voting.
Right.
And so this is one of the worst ones, to just take people off the voter rolls. And then when they are interested in a particular issue or the climate of the political arena, that they want to vote only to maybe find out that they're unable to vote. So that's one of the worst ones. I think it could very well go through and be signed by the governor. I certainly hope not. But we have legislators saying things like, well, not all people should be voting, or we want quality voters, not quantity voters. And those are pretty much direct quotes from Representative Kavanaugh from Fountain Hills. So that just exposes those things that they say are really to prevent voter fraud, but really are to limit the voting pool.
Right.
So there's another really difficult one where it would require additional identification to be included in a separate envelope with the ballot itself, which could identify the voter. You know, we have forever had secret ballots in our country, and this would take that possibility away. It also makes it very difficult for voters to have a voter ID. So you would have to send in your driver's license.
Right.
How do you copy that if you are an older individual,
yep,
or a person who doesn't have the means to get these documents together? They would be limited. I saw a letters to the editor the other day by an older person who said, if I have to go through all these steps and get all these identifiers to include with my ballot, well, I just won't vote. Well, that's not what we want. We don't want people not voting because we put so many roadblocks in the way. And so those are two of the very worst ones that I've seen. But there are countless others. We have one that would allow the legislature to overturn a presidential election.
Right.
Now, that's not moving forward, but it just shows the boldness of the people who have that very slim majority and not wanting to have adequate representation over our system. And we have individuals in rural areas and in Native American communities who don't have the ability to put the ballot in the mailbox, that
right,
they are so isolated that if some of these voter suppression bills were to go through, they would in reality be denied the ability to vote.
Yeah, and going back to the scrubbing of the PEVEL rolls, would there be a requirement that those folks that were removed be notified that they were being removed, or would this just happen without them knowing?
No, there is a notification provided, but I don't know how obvious it would be.
Right.
You know, if I get a postcard in my mail along with all the junk mail I receive.
Yep.
You know, am I going to pay attention to that little postcard? And then, you know, I'm apt as an individual to, I'll set that aside. I don't have time
right
to do that now. I'll come back to it later. And then before I know it, the time has passed. And how do I reach out to
yep
someone to ask to be reestablished on the voter list?
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes absolutely no sense. And I guess what would happen is a lot of folks will show up to vote and be told that they're not eligible. And that by that point, it's too late.
One bill we had, and I don't think it will go forward. I don't know. Things seem to pop up at the end that we think maybe are not going to go forward, but it would. We passed it out of the Appropriations Committee that would not accept a ballot, even though it were received by mail, but if it was not postmarked within the last 2 weeks, it would not be received.
Right.
The way the mail is managed on the Native American reservations, so their mail sometimes has to go out to New Mexico and then come back to the reservation. So it's possible that in a 2 week period of time, if everything went like clockwork, they still would not be able to get that ballot back in 2 weeks.
Right.
And we also have many of the elders who are not able to read in English, who need some of their younger members, their grandchildren, mm-hmm, or the children to help them read the ballot and help them fill it out. So, and the Native American vote was pivotal in our last election cycle. So I think that a lot of these bills are targeted to communities in poverty, which frequently are communities of color and of our Native American individuals.
Right. Well, obviously, voter access is something that's top of mind for a lot of folks right now, but there's a lot of other priorities. What are some of your other priorities for your current term?
Well, some of my priorities revolve around housing and homelessness. And we're hopeful to see some movement on that. Some years ago, we had 55% of the unclaimed property go to the Housing Trust Fund. That's a number one priority. At the beginning of the recession, that was dropped down to $2.5 million a year, where at some times it could get as high as, you know, $37-38 million. And as we see, there was a huge need in Arizona for housing. And 40% is designated to rural areas before the pandemic. And now since the pandemic, we are seeing even greater need, a greater concern that when the moratorium is lifted on evictions, that we'll see an even broader loss of rental units. And of course, once someone loses their housing, it is much more difficult to regain it, because then you go back to first and last month's deposits, all those things. Well, if you can't pay your monthly rental bill, how on earth are you going to come up with a huge sum of money, such as first and last month and deposits and all of that? And then we have additionally a severe shortage of low-income housing and workforce housing in Arizona.
Right.
I live near downtown Phoenix, and I've got cranes all over the place. I think I'm going to lose some daylight before it's all over at my home, with so many tall rental units going up. But they are all luxury housing.
Right.
And we see even housing units that have been reasonably priced, you know, for example, some of the smaller units, you know, that maybe have 10 to 20, 25 units. What we're seeing is people being evicted and thrown out, a fresh coat of paint put on, perhaps some new flooring, and perhaps some new appliances, and the rent costs being doubled or tripled.
Right.
And so we're losing even what we did have in housing. Mm. And then one of my other priorities, and that bill, by the way, is stuck in the Ways and Means Committee in the House and will not be heard this session. I'm so hopeful that we'll get something in the budget as a footnote with some funding that will help along these lines.
Yes.
But another big issue is the payment for kinship care families whose children are in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Kinship care families now in Arizona are picking up more than 50% of the need for children in foster care. And kinship care families at this time only get $75 a month, while a non-kinship care certified foster parent gets at a minimum over $600 a month.
Oh, wow.
And that disparity is horrible.
Yeah.
My bill would have raised it to $250 to get it out of the Senate. I had to drop it to $150. But the House Appropriations Committee was surprisingly interested and sympathetic to this issue. And Senator Kavanaugh will be offering an amendment to take that up, depending on family income per year. From some folks will get $150 if they have a high income. There's a tier there where it goes to $250 and another one that goes to $300. So that's a step in the right direction.
Yep.
And, you know, all of these kids are in trauma because kids don't go into foster care, kinship or otherwise, unless there's a traumatic incident or series of incidences in their family life.
Right.
And we know that the outcomes for kids who stay with their families are absolutely so much better than children that go to non-family members. And I applaud our foster care families who are not kinship care families. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But our research shows that kinship families' outcomes are much better. And they're picking up over 50% of the load for our children in foster care. So
right.
There's a number of reasons to help these families. I have a personal story. A friend of my niece took her three nieces and nephews into care. And unfortunately, because of the lack of services from DCS and the low stipend, she unfortunately had to turn those children back to DCS, which is heartbreaking. You know, she wanted to be able to care for her nieces and nephews, but, you know, the circumstances were such that the children were so traumatized and in needing of special services that it was taking her away from her paying job. And she, you know, was either going to lose her job that her family depended upon for support, you know, or have to turn the children back. So heartbreaking situations. And if we can just provide more services and more dollars to these families, we'll be doing a great service for the people of Arizona, both the taxpayers and the families that we serve, and have much better outcomes. So those are a couple of the things that I'm working on. I also am concerned about low-income seniors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a couple bills moving that provides an ombudsman with DES and some money going out throughout the state to the areas on aging. So keeping my fingers crossed, Ethan, that we'll make those over the finish line.
Well, I know in addition to all of those things that you're also very passionate about protecting health care in Arizona, fighting for access to a quality, affordable health care for every Arizonan. You work for protection of reproductive rights, children's health care, and expanding behavioral health care access and funding. As I think you probably know, there remain on the books several zombie laws which would criminalize abortion care in Arizona if Roe v. Wade were overturned. What, if anything, can you do as part of the minority party to change or get rid of these types of laws?
Well, I think that our best defense right now is letting people know what's happening in the legislature. A very horrible abortion bill went out of the Appropriations Committee just last Wednesday night that would criminalize doctors for performing abortions if they were, if the pregnancy was over 6 weeks in length. Well, many women don't even know they're pregnant in that time frame, and it made no accommodation for pregnancies that would cause health concerns for the mother. If the life of the mother, I believe the only accommodation was that there was a provable instance in which the mother was going to die. You know, I had a very poignant email from one of my constituents who had a twin pregnancy And the male fetus in that pregnancy had severe defects or caused problems. I don't know exactly what those problems were, but she had to travel to Los Angeles, even in the current climate, to get that issue resolved. So I think we need to be ever vigilant. You know, it's heartbreaking. You know, there are some medical situations that absolutely call for medical
an intervention of sorts.
The word, thank you, that I was looking for. But beyond that, you know, it is a woman's right to choose. That is
absolutely
the law of the land. It is a constitutional issue. And as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, women should have the right to their privacy and the right to make decisions about their own bodies. No one should force a woman to continue a pregnancy that she chooses not to continue for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
You know, the rights of privacy are outrageously interfered in this legislation, and the right to make a decision about what to do should be left to the woman, her partner, if she chooses to include that partner, her doctor, and her God. It should not be some white male's idea that every pregnancy should go forward, and then we not support the children who are born into poverty. And it is the individuals in poverty who will not be able to obtain safe, legal abortions. People of means will have that ability to go out of state or to go out of the country for the procedure. But early abortion care is most safe for the mother. And all these delays can make the situation more threatening. And I had another email from a medical professional, a doctor that lives in my district, who said she has never, ever seen a situation in which this was a decision that was taken lightly for convenience. You know, that it was always a horrible, soul-searching situation.
Yeah.
And that a OBGYN doctor who deals with this every day at a hospital in my district.
Well, and it's been really fascinating to see so many conservative white men especially kind of appropriate the My Body, My Choice slogan around mask wearing, and to have a party that says we really want to, you know, stay out of your lives, to be this intimately involved with the health care that women receive is just, it's almost like being in the Twilight Zone.
It is. And, you know, and then some years ago, before the recession, we provided dental care for pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
And that benefit was taken away, you know, several years ago. I think it was 2008. I'm not quite sure of that date. But we cannot even get that restored. And we know that the dental care for a pregnant woman is vital to the outcome of the pregnancy and the health of the baby.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's just, I am about to say a swear word here, but I won't, so you don't have to bleep me out. You know, but we're not doing what we need to do to care for our children, to make them be the best they can be, to give them the best start in life. You know, we're not providing educational opportunities. We're not providing healthcare opportunities to the extent we should. You know, and this issue of dental care in pregnancy is a glaring reminder of how we don't really care about the outcomes of pregnancy of all children.
Yep.
Just certain children.
Absolutely. So, Senator Alston, you've consistently sought and celebrated the endorsement of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona. Why is this so important to you?
It is important to me because I care about all my sisters on this planet, and particularly those here in Arizona. I think we should all have high quality health care, and particularly health care as it revolves around pregnancy and choice. When I was pregnant in 1960 and 62, there were no choices
right
for women other than backstreet abortions. And that's where some of this will head if some of these bills get passed.
Yep.
But I care about my daughter. You know, the ERA was in play when my daughter was a teenager, when I was first elected to office.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 1976. And I thought, by the time my daughter is an adult, she was 16 at the time, by the time she's an adult, we'll have fixed this. Well, and by fixed this, I meant the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment,
right,
the opportunity for free and safe abortions, that Planned Parenthood strongly supports. So my passion for Planned Parenthood goes back to those days, you know, and now I have adult granddaughters in their late 20s, and we still have not taken care of these issues.
Yep.
And I celebrate Planned Parenthood for being on the forefront, for never giving up. You know, I seek their endorsement because I care about their mission. I care about their mission for women of color, for all women. And so there's a lot of factors, but the mission that they have adopted from before my time in public service, you know, and now on the school board, mm-hmm. you know, we see that even more. I've worked with Planned Parenthood before we overturned No Promo Homo to push the limits to what teachers in classrooms and in curriculum could do. Now, we didn't break state law, but we pushed, I worked with Planned Parenthood to push to the limits what can and should be allowed and taught in classrooms. And that includes LGBTQ rights as well. So,
well, we thank you for that. And as a member of the LGBTQ population here in Arizona, I remember that day as being one of the greatest days to hear that young people would actually be able to access information about sexuality that would be pertinent to them. I think that means a lot.
Oh, yes. Last year, I had a little bill that said supplemental materials or textbooks that were adopted by school boards had to portray individuals with disabilities and individuals of the LGBTQ community or lifestyle in a positive light, or they couldn't portray them in a negative light. And the president of the Senate thought that was so controversial that she never assigned it to a committee.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
It was a simple bill to make sure that our textbooks and the materials our kids are learning are up to date, realistic, and valid.
Yeah.
That they're real. and you know, so many of our young people who are questioning or are cut out, you know, are just heartbreaking to me. And that's where we see some of our suicides.
Yep.
And we're just not doing right, again, by all of our kids,
yep.
all of our kids, no right. matter what their color, whatever their wealth position is, whatever their gender choice or identity is. You know, all of our kids are important, and all of our kids have the keys to making our society a better place to be and live. And we need to foster all of that. Yeah. I'm reminded of our team, our robotics club team at Carl Hayden High School some years ago, who beat out the MIT team in a robotics competition. There was a made for Hollywood movie with Jamie Lee Curtis made of that situation, mm-hmm. and a documentary. But it just goes to show you that poor kids with limited resources are every bit as smart as those kids who made it into MIT.
Yep.
But the outcomes, you know, 10 years later of where each of those groups of children were remarkably different. Only one of the Carl Hayden kids had gone on to college and received a college degree. Many of them were undocumented, working low-income jobs, you know, and we still, of course, not solved that problem of right. undocumented workers. So
with such a stressful job, how do you make sure that you're practicing self-care? And what are the things that bring you joy and allow you to kind of disconnect from your work when you need to do that?
Well, I get a lot of joy out of the work and being a voice for the people I represent. This past week, I got a couple of really thoughtful, kind thank yous from my constituents. That surely keeps me going. Being able to make a difference in individuals' lives, and we saw this in this, you know, during the pandemic, that through my office, I was able to cut through some of the red tape and get people their unemployment insurance, which, you know, that was and remains a horrible situation. So we were able to make some big differences for individuals by cutting through the red tape and getting some immediate attention to their needs. So it really gives me great joy when I and my wonderful Mary Peralta, who is my assistant, and people should know we only have one assistant.
Right.
That's our staff. Now we have pool staff for the caucus, but as far as individual staff, it's one person. And if you're a House member, you have to share that one person with somebody else. But I have the best one in the whole legislature, hands down, and that's Mary Peralta. You know, but I take great joy in my family. You know, I have 6 grandchildren who I love dearly, and 3 of them are here in Arizona, and 3 of them are out of state. But we are able to be in touch regularly, and so with my children and my grandchildren, I receive great joy. And my needs are minimal. My wants are minimal. So a good meal with good friends makes me a happy person. And, you know, being in the campaign has brought me beautiful friendships. Back to 76, some of those individuals who were my first campaign workers in 1976 are still my supporters and my friends today.
Wow.
So beautiful friendships, long-term and new ones, are generated through my time in public service. So those are the joys. It doesn't take me much to keep me happy. I do have a bucket list project. And for those who don't know, I have a 1956 Ford Thunderbird that I have let set for a long, long time.
Mm.
And one of my bucket list projects that I'll be very happy to complete, and I don't know when that's going to be, is to get that car back on the road. So.
Oh, how wonderful. Is it one of the ones with the rumble seats?
Yeah, no, it's not a rumble seat. Oh. It's one of the little Thunderbirds with the portholes.
Oh, okay, so, sure.
You know, a bench seat, you know, a two-person car.
Yep.
And mine, I'm so lucky. I got one that was pink from the back. So.
My grandfather was also a collector and restorer of Thunderbirds. So of what? All cars, I know those a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, are you able to have any left in the family?
No, I'm afraid they've all gone now. He passed away several years ago, but boy, he was amazing with them. He could bring them back from the dead. It was incredible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If he were still around, I'd give you his number.
Somebody asked me how much I'd put into it financially. I said, I don't even want to know. I've never put it up. It's a labor of love, so it doesn't matter. But I'm sure much more than it's worth.
Yeah. But the so joy worth of it.
Is there, Ethan.
Well, thank you so much, Senator Alston. I can just hear in this conversation your passion for the people of Arizona. And this has been so great. And it's definitely my honor to have had this time with you.
Oh, it's been my honor.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this. And if you did, we'll be posting new podcasts every month. So be on the lookout. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. See you next time.